It's good to be back. We forgot to put the ropes up, so that's why you are so far back. I don't like that. I feel like I'm all alone up here. You're giving me a complex. You don't have to move now, but just remember that for future. You know, we all have our little, you know, little things that we want to do. I'm one of them. I know all about quirks. A few announcements. next Monday night, we have our evening dessert kebab. You can purchase tickets today, and I believe today is the last day to purchase tickets for that. But if you haven't been to one, you might want to join us, and we've always had a great time of fellowship at these things. Also, did they give you one of these little retreat things at the door, or are they on the table? They're on the table. This is just a little flyer to let you know that we are having a ladies' retreat this year. We haven't had one in a few years. It's in September, and the information is on this, so you can grab one as you go out. So that way you can mark calendars and plan for it. The Lord is already stirring my heart for it. So it's only 9 more months. Well, 8 and something. So, and then also you were handed the ladies' directory when you walked in. If you were not, you can pick one of those up on the table. And I think that is it. Did you enjoy your Christmas? Did it seem like it was a million years ago to anybody else other than me? Yeah. That's good. You know, having, because we've taken 3 weeks off, so it just seems like so much has happened in those 3 weeks that it's been a whole year. But we are going to review Nehemiah today because we've had that break, and I don't know about you. Well, I think I do know about you because you're like me, and in some ways we tend to forget, and we need repetition, and we need the review. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, and he told them, wrote to them and said, "For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but it's safe for you." And then he wrote to Peter and said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Still going to remind you of these things. And he wrote again to Peter, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder." So we're just going to go back through and touch on some of the lessons that we have talked about through this book. The children of Israel had been in captivity for 70 years. They were allowed to go back into the land, and Zerubbabel led the first wave back into the land to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city, and then Ezra came and led a second, and then many years, almost 100 years later, Nehemiah came in. And when we met Nehemiah, back when we started in this book, in chapter 1, he was the cupbearer of the king of Persia. And the things that we have looked at, talked about, touched on, and have seen about Nehemiah's character is that the first thing, he really had a heart for his people. You remember his brethren came from Jerusalem to where Nehemiah was, and Nehemiah asked about their well-being back in Jerusalem and how the city was doing. He really had a heart. He had a care. He had a concern for other people. When he heard the news that the city was just in ruins and the wall was just totally broken down, they were unprotected, he was brokenhearted over their condition. And he wept and he fasted. And he immediately turned to the Lord. He was a man of prayer. We see that all through the book. He turns to the Lord, seeks the Lord, prays to him, depends on him. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord to lead him into, if he wanted him to be a part of the solution, part of going back in and rebuilding. So he trusted the Lord every step of the way to lead him, to provide for him. And we saw the Lord did provide for him, where the king gave his blessing and provision and financial support for Nehemiah to go back in and rebuild that wall. We see that Nehemiah trusted the Lord to protect him, because there were many, many enemies that were against him and against the work that he was to do. But he trusted the Lord every step of the way. And then he trusted the Lord to strengthen him in it. That was a huge job that he was about at that time to undertake. And he needed the strength, and he trusted the Lord in that. He acknowledged the Lord in his ways, and he acknowledged that the Lord's hand was upon him, and he said it was his good hand that was upon his life. We also saw that Nehemiah was a very wise leader, very strong leader, but a very wise leader, as he then went into the city, didn't tell anybody what he was doing, why he was there, until he surveyed the job, till he counted the cost, till he knew and it was settled in his mind, and how had the Lord had time to speak to him and give him the plan to get in there and to rebuild. And then we see that Nehemiah did have a plan from the Lord, and he organized the rebuilding, and he set the people in order, and he had everything prepared and in order. We also have seen that Nehemiah was a very courageous man. He trusted the Lord, and he just kept on going, kept on serving. I think for me, that might be one of the top five that stand out to me in his life, is his courage. And it doesn't mean that he was never afraid, but he trusted the Lord. His trust in the Lord was much greater than his fear of man. And he just had the courage and the strength to stand up and to continue and to finish. He withstood the enemy over and over and over again. And we saw how the enemy continued to press. We looked at all those devices of the enemy and how he continued to press in and push and push and push. But Nehemiah wouldn't budge. He wouldn't budge. He would always turn to the Lord for strength and for more courage to then push the enemy back and just continue with the work. He wasn't afraid to lead, and he wasn't afraid to speak up and to say something hard if necessary as a leader. And he did that. Remember in chapter 5 where the rulers and the rich were taking advantage of the poor, and that whole selfishness. And he spoke up and he spoke out against them, that what you are doing is wrong. And he said, you need to do this. And then they corrected it. He was a man of integrity right from the beginning, just godly character and integrity. And he also, in that end of chapter 5, had said he didn't live off the people. He could have, as his right as governor, he could have, you know, taxed the people and lived off of them, but he did not. He didn't want to be a burden. He came there to serve them, not that they would serve him. He would not compromise. And he was pushed by the enemy to compromise, and he would not do it because he knew God had called him to that work, and he wouldn't budge from it. He completed the job, as hard as it was and as discouraging as it could have been. He didn't quit. He continued on. He completed it. He finished it. And then he, after that was finished and everything was hit, kind of his job of why he was there was finished. He didn't finish. Then he kind of, and we'll see in the coming weeks, he structures the people and gets order back in their lives. But he allowed the word of God through Ezra to come back in that wonderful chapter 8 where Ezra reads the word of the Lord. And then the last time we were together, we looked at chapter 9 where he and all of the people then remembered the Lord and praised the Lord for all that he had done. And so, as they remembered the Lord, we want to remember all the Lord has done in our lives through this book of Nehemiah. And I hope you had 3 weeks to do your review homework, and I'm hoping that you sat down and you did it, and you did take that opportunity to sit and to remember. Now, James, in his epistle, he wrote, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Have you done that before in the physical? Have you done that before? I think we all have. I have done that before. I've done that a lot of times. But one time in particular, I looked in the mirror deciding which pair of shoes to wear. So you have one shoe on one foot and the other shoe on the other foot. And then I looked in the mirror and I decided, and I left the mirror and quickly forgot and drove to church and came in. And I got in my office and happened to look down, thank you, Lord, and noticed that I had two different shoes on. So I'm glad I live close, so I got to go back home and get the other shoe that matched. But we have a tendency to do that when we look in a mirror and we see what we look like. A lot of times we're surprised at what we look like because we have ourselves pictured in a certain way. I don't know if you do that, but I've done that because when I was little, I was a towhead, the blondest blonde. So I still think I'm that way until I look in the mirror and then I go, this dirty blonde now. And then you have to pay to have it somewhat restored. But there are also times, more times than not now, for me, whether it's age, hormones, or overload, that I can hear something or read something and even respond to it, but there's no connection that's made. And I can be like that person who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets. I can even be in a conversation with you, or I can read something. And then I walk away, and there's no connection. That's scary. Recently, my stove top needed to be cleaned desperately. If you have a miracle, send it my way on that, because I cannot get this thing clean. So I knew I needed to clean it, and I was going to forget, because I really don't want to clean it, but it needs to be cleaned. So I decided to take the burner grate off of the stove and put it on the counter, because that way it would remind me to clean my stove, because I'm the type of person that everything has a place and everything should be in its place. And when something is out of its place, I notice immediately. Well, my burner thing sat on my counter for a week. There, no connection was made. Every time I would walk by and see that, I knew that it didn't belong on the counter, but it didn't go all the way to connect to say, you need to clean it, you need to clean it, you need to clean it. Till finally one day I thought, I need to clean that, I'm going to write that down. So then I wrote it down and tried to clean it. Didn't get all cleaned. But as bothersome as that is to me, and I'm sure to others who have been affected by that in me with that connection, I would much rather be that way in the physical than be that way spiritually. Because spiritually, when I look in the mirror of the Word, I want that connection. I want it to be permanent. I want it to be immediate and then permanent. I don't want to be the type of person that hears a Bible study, that reads the word for myself, or has the Lord speak to me, and then I say, oh, that's wonderful, that's nice, and then walk away and forget. I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and she was sharing with me about her, that the Lord had given her her scripture for the year. Now, for years and years and years, I had always prayed for a scripture for the year. At the end of the year, I like to look back at the end of the year, kind of review the year, reflect on what the Lord has done just so I can remember, and then look ahead to the coming year and ask the Lord, what do you want to do in my life? Give me a promise. Give me a scripture that might direct me. Give me a scripture that you might want to work into my heart, into my life. And I've done that for over 20 years, year after year. And I would write them down on a little 3x5 card, put them on my fridge or somewhere for the year. And then I have a little, like a little recipe box, and I keep them in there so I can go back. Well, the last, I don't know, maybe 5 years, I have not done that. I forgot. That's just really stupid, but I have forgot. So a few weeks ago, I'm talking to my friend, and she said she kind of got in that place too, where she didn't have one the last few years, and she has one. And I'm listening to her and saying to her, I forgot too. I need to do that again. Why haven't I done that? And while I'm talking, I know what I'm saying, but the connection isn't being made. It's not being made. I don't know if you understand that. But then last week, I was with another friend. We got to get away for a little while, and we were on a trip, and I had my friend with me in the car. And she said, oh, I want to tell you what the scripture the Lord gave me this year, for this coming year. And I looked at her, and it just, connection, bingo, it's just like, okay, that's what I need to do. So those next few mornings on our trip during my quiet time, I sought the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me? I need to hear from you, and I need a piece. I need a piece of your word to get me through this year. What do you want to do in my life? He is so faithful, so very faithful to speak, to give, and he gave me, actually it's a section of scripture, and just to work in my life, and he's just been speaking that to me over and over again. That's what I want to have happen all the time. That's what I look in the mirror of the word, and the connection is made, and the Lord has me, and then he keeps speaking to me throughout the word. I don't want to be the person who looks in the mirror of the word and says, oh, that is great. What a wonderful thing. Thanks, Lord, for talking to me and going this way and then totally forgetting. And I'm sure that you don't want to be that way either. So today, we want to remember. We want to remember those things that the Lord has spoken to our hearts throughout this book of Nehemiah. And whether you've been here, this is your first time or whatever, the Lord can speak to your heart. If you are not even familiar with the book, he can still speak to your heart. But if you've been coming and you've been doing your homework week after week, as we just touch on a few of these things, and we're just going to go quickly so you have a little bit more time in your groups to talk about these things, see if the Lord doesn't spark something to your remembrance that possibly he spoke to you a few months ago, and he wanted to work in your life, and you wrote it down, and then you left the mirror, and you forgot. Well, today's the day where he can stir our hearts now and bring those things to remembrance and fan that flame so that he can continue the work that he wants to do. Our first lesson, and that main theme is that of Nehemiah is that rebuilding that wall. Now we know that the physical wall around the city is there or was there in those days to keep the people inside safe, to keep the enemy outside. It was a separation. It was a protection and a separation. And we talked about how we need that spiritual wall of protection around our lives. And we need to build our spiritual wall. We talked about kind of that picture of the bricks being the Word of God and the mortar between the bricks being our obedience to the Word of God. So that we're building brick by brick by brick, and then we're filling that in with our obedience, with that mortar, and we're making and building a very strong spiritual wall of protection around our lives. Now you just kind of let your mind go back to that lesson and what the Lord spoke to you, where you were during that time and where you are today. Is the wall around your life thicker and stronger to keep the enemy out and to keep you safe? Where is it? It should be. If we've looked in the mirror and we've gone away and we've remembered and we've allowed the Lord to work. But where is it? Where is your wall the same? It's in the same condition? Is it weaker? Is it stronger? And you might want to just jot, if the Lord's speaking to you, don't neglect his voice. Jot it down, and because he wants to work in our hearts and bring these things, bring fruit from our lives from them. Also with Nehemiah, it was just an ordinary day in his life. He was doing the same thing he had done day after day after day when the news came. And then even after he got the news, there was that 4-month gap between then and when he got to speak to the king. And during that 4-month period of time, day after day after day, ordinary day, ordinary day, ordinary day. And you never know what a day can bring. Maybe the Lord has done something in your life over these past few months on an ordinary day, and he has done an extraordinary thing. Don't forget it. Write it down. Don't forget what he has done. And don't overlook something as, well, that really wasn't extraordinary. If he spoke to you, if he changed your course, if he did something, that is a good and extraordinary, special thing for him to do in our lives. Then he stirred Nehemiah's heart as Nehemiah was asking about the brethren. And he just stirred his heart for compassion and for caring. And you ask yourself, am I more sensitive now to the things around me than when I began studying this book? The Lord sparked that one to my life. Well, all of these lessons. I can't read it. I can't speak it without it touching my heart and my life. But did he stir your heart at that time so that you have a bigger picture and you have more care and more concern? And now where are you? If he did do that, where are you? Is it greater? Have we walked away from the mirror of the word? Nehemiah's dependence on the Lord, too, where he heard that news and he immediately turned to the Lord. And I think I will always remember this one. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. You remember the hymn? I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. And those times when we hear that news or when something has gone on in our lives, and maybe from that time until today, is Jesus the first one we run and tell? I hope so. I hope that those words have rung in your ears throughout these past few months. I must tell Jesus. We need to be reminded of that. In fact, it was probably several weeks after that lesson. And I forgot those words. And I was talking to one of the evening group leaders, and she just looked at me and she just said, I must tell Jesus. And it was like, woo, it sparked to life again. We need that repetition, the review over and over and over again. Nehemiah was prepared, and we talked about and we shared some verses in Proverbs about diligence, about planning, going to the ant and looking how she plans ahead, being diligent. And has your life become more diligent because we have studied this, because the Lord spoke to us and did something in our hearts and in our lives. And then we talked about how everyone was assigned a position on the wall. Everyone had a part. And some were a little part, some were a bigger part, some had two, but everybody was in their place. Are you in that place that God has called you? Have you stepped out of it? Have you not found it? Are you there in that place? And remember, along with that, that God took note of who was doing what. Remember that? The priests, they were first. We talked about having that attitude of, I'm going to step up to the plate first. I'm representing the Lord in this world, and I need to let my light shine, and I need to be the first one to step up and meet the need and to get out there and to serve. And then also it mentioned Baruch, who carefully or diligently repaired the section. And are we being diligent in our service to the Lord? And then God took note of who would not work. And the Tekoite nobles, they did not work. They didn't put their hand. And so, where am I? That mirror of the word. And maybe the Lord spoke to my heart about a ministry or about stepping out in a certain direction or whatever it might be. Am I looking in the mirror and hearing what he said and turning away and being like the Tekoite nobles and not putting my hand to the plow and working? Or am I being like Baruch and I'm the first one up there and I'm diligently serving the Lord today? We also talked about, before we got into the devices of the enemy, about the little warning about being a tool of the enemy. And that sometimes we can get in and be used by the enemy and to be a little black rain cloud for somebody, to be Eeyore, to bring discouragement, or to, you know, say things that we shouldn't say that would be discouraging. And hopefully we took heed to that one, and that is a part of our past. We recognize that, and we did something about it. Also in that chapter 5, where about the selfishness, and we talked about just stop thinking about yourself. And that, I remember for me, for that week, those 2 weeks in there, it was just very, very good reminder of the Lord. You're thinking about yourself again. You're thinking about yourself. You put yourself first. You shouldn't have put yourself, stop thinking about yourself. A few weeks ago, I was with my mom, and she said, very seriously, I listened to your message, stop thinking about yourself, and I really think you need to mail that to every Christian woman in the world. Okay, Mom. But she said, we all need to hear that so we stop thinking about ourselves. And that's one we need to hear daily. Just put a little note by your door. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about yourself. Because that's one we can forget really quickly. We can be that person in the mirror and walk away and start thinking about ourselves. Also, we talked about how Nehemiah always turned the eyes of the people to the Lord, and he was an encourager, and we need to be an encourager. Remember how he said the middle of chapter 4, verse 14, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Remember the Lord. And have we been more of an encourager since we heard that? Since the Lord spoke to our hearts, have we been actively encouraging one another? Then we spoke about spiritual warfare. And since then, Have we kept that armor on? Are we recognizing the enemy greater or more quickly than we had before? And then are we resisting as Nehemiah did and withstanding the enemy? And then are we rejoicing in the victory that God has given us? And then in that chapter 8, where Ezra came out and brought the word of God, and he opened the word of God, and the people just, the response to that is they just stood on their feet to, you know, out of respect, out of reverence to the word of God. Has my hunger for the word since then increased? Have I been reading more of the word, enjoying more of the word? Am I more attentive to the word than I was before? Or have I slipped back in? Don't we need to be reminded of these things? I do. I mean, if you could tell me this every day, it wouldn't be too often. I need to be reminded. I so quickly forget. Am I responding to the word in obedience quicker than I did before? And then the prayer life of Nehemiah, and just those little handful of verses that he speaks to the Lord, and he seeks the Lord, and he's praying to the Lord. That just indicates his relationship with the Lord. And we just have to know that it was a man of prayer. For him to just so quickly tell Jesus, there's got to be prayer throughout his life all the time. Has the Lord stirred your prayer life? Has your prayer life and just that talking to the Lord, praying without ceasing, has it increased throughout this book? Are you talking to the Lord more and more and telling him all about it? He's eager to listen. Are you more aware of your need for that? And then also with his life is his trust and his faith in the Lord. He was confident in his God. Confident that God called him and that God was with him. And he trusted him every step of the way. That stirs my heart. I want to be that strong in my faith and my trust in the Lord. That confident, knowing that God has called me, that God will be with me, that if he's called me, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it, he'll work in it, and then he's for me. He will move me forward to complete the job that he's given me. And you, has the Lord stirred your heart in that way? Are you trusting him more than you did at the beginning? We need to continue to grow in our trust and our faith in the Lord every single day. We should never take a break from that. The normal Christian life, what should be normal Christian life, is that daily we're growing. Daily we're growing in our knowledge of the Lord. Daily we're growing in the Word, in devouring the Word, feeding off the Word, and we're growing in our prayer life, and we're growing in our faith and our trust in the Lord. That is normal in our relationship with the Lord. So many things in this world want to pull us away from that. We forget. We so easily fall back into our pattern of whatever it was before. Even we were praying before study, and you know, somebody prayed, you know, how we've taken these 3 weeks off, you get out of a routine. It's harder to get back into that routine, but you all did. You're all here. This is good. But it's just too easy to get out of it. So it's a daily adventure in the Lord to grow, to feast on his word, and to to trust Him more and more and place our faith in Him. I had, on this trip that we just did, I had two opportunities to really trust the Lord and to believe that He was going to take care of whatever situation it was. And it was wonderful, wonderful for me just to not worry, because I would have worried before, but not to worry, to just say, no, I'm just going to continue to seek the Lord and to trust Him. And He's faithful, faithful. No matter what the outcome is, He is faithful. So if we have gone through, and that was just quick, and that wasn't certainly wasn't all of them, but just a little bit to spark our remembrances. If we can look back and we can say, yeah, I've grown. Yeah, oh, I remember that lesson. Yes, I've continued with that. Yes, I have looked in the mirror of the Word and I've walked away and I remembered. I've made that connection. And it's solid, it's firm, then praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that we can look back and we have seen growth. If we can look back and that we've seen any kind of victory, any kind of change for the good, any little bit of growth, praise the Lord. Then we're all doing well. We're on the right track. We're moving in the right direction. Now, sometimes we would like to go from here all the way to here, but the Lord just has us taking these little steps. But if there is any movement forward, praise the Lord. You have victory. Victory in the Lord. Then you have been attentive to the Word. And not just attentive, but you've been responsive to the Word. You've been responsive to the Lord's voice. When He speaks, and you've remembered, and you've allowed Him to work in our lives, He always speaks. He always works. It's us who hinder. If I close my ears, or if I, you know, close my heart, and I don't want that. But if we've seen any of it, then praise the Lord. We've had our ears open, our hearts open. We've listened to the Lord. We've obeyed the Lord. We've trusted the Lord. Don't forget. Don't forget these lessons. Don't forget these great things that the Lord has done. And when I say the word, these great things that the Lord has done, sometimes we think of, you know, okay, well, it's got to be this big thing. No, just those two little things on my trip, those two little trusting things, I'm not going to tell you what they are because you'd probably laugh. Because they were little tiny things, but they are great things to me. Great things because I had victory. I made progress. I didn't worry about something that I would have worried about before. I didn't. I made that step. And so those are great things. And I know that you've had great things done in your life. I know you've listened to the Lord. I know He's spoken to you. I know you've made those changes. Don't forget them. And don't neglect to give Him thanks and praise. And also, and I exhort myself, let's not neglect to tell others about how good He's been, about how faithful He has been. You have that opportunity in your group and going over this lesson, but the Lord has done any great thing, little tiny to really big thing. Share it. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to. Well, like I just said, now you'll laugh, you know, kind of a thing. Well, maybe some will, maybe some won't. But declare those great things that the Lord has done. Because when we do, and when I hear you, when I overhear something, when somebody shares something with them, something happens in my heart. My heart leaps. Just could be this little thing. And the Lord can take me down and teach me all kinds of things by one little thing that someone shared. This is why we need to be together. This is why we have our group time to talk about the things of the Lord, because it stirs our faith and builds our faith. So just encourage you today as we go out and go into our groups now that those things that He's done would just bubble up from your hearts. And Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for repetition. Thank you for review. Thank you that though we have heard some of these things maybe 100 times over our walks with you, Lord, over the years, that we need to hear them 101 to make that connection. And I pray, Father, we all do, that each one of us would look into the mirror of your word, and when we walk away, we would not forget. We would remember. We would remember who we are in you. We would remember what you've done in our lives. We would remember that our God is for us, and then we can go out in confidence and boldness and with courage, knowing that you are with us, you're for us, and you will complete the work in us and you will work through us. And Lord, I pray that as my sisters go into their groups, that it would just be just an edifying time, Lord, that each one would just share from their heart what you have done, the great things you have done. Praise you, Lord, for so many answers to our prayers, so many blessings. And just keep working in our lives day by day to make us look more like you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.